Books of the Bible. Ezekiel was a prophet and priest in Israel. The language in the book of Ezekiel is often symbolic and figurative, but the message is clear. God rules over and judges men and nations. When you are tempted by sin, Ezekiel reminds us that God is holy and has called his people to holiness. He will go to great lengths to purge evil from among them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to Lessons in Doing Professional Broadcasting. This is, don't talk like that. That's lesson number one. This is Wretched Radio. Rehearse. You're going to, don't just go on the air without prepping the other person and hope for a good result, because it's usually going to be a bomb. Case in point. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
What are you doing for the rest of the day? Because I was thinking, let's you and I go to dinner, baseball game, and then we'll go down to Callaway Gardens. It's about a 3-hour drive, and we'll go walk, and are we going to bond? And we'll look at the azaleas blooming.
No, yeah.
Should have you home at about 3 this morning. Next morning, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. You want to do it?
Yeah. Do I have to work tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely.
No.
Toxic narcissist. See what I did? Hey, it actually worked out. So forget that lesson in doing professional broadcasting. We have been wrapping people in cotton now for decades, telling them that the world exists to please them, and anything or anyone who does not affirm them, who does not make them totally happy, anybody who gets up their nose in any way, shape, or form is now being labeled a narcissist. I'm sorry for beating the horse, but it is one of my spiritual gifts. This is an important trend, and I think it's contributing to the division in families that we are seeing. Honestly, I find it so grievous, the number of good Christian families. Please don't buy the social media lie that everybody else's family is perfect but yours. They're not. They're just not. It is by the Lord's grace. When you meet somebody who says, you know, I've got 3 kids and they all love the Lord Jesus Christ, they're married, they got kids, increasingly that's the exception. The rule is, yeah, 2 of my 3 kids, oh, pray for them, would you? And you know the individual, you know those parents, and you're like, they're godly people. They're not at home Joan Crawfording their children. They're loving, godly parents, and their kids ghost them. What in the world is going on? And I think in part, we can attribute to this family fracturing to the misuse of the word narcissism. Narcissism being defined as you bug me, you don't agree with me, you don't go along with me, you're a narcissist. Good luck getting along with anybody on the planet, especially when the gurus online tell you what you need, therefore, to do with a narcissist is, I kid you not, torture them. This is what millions of views, these videos are reaping, because people are, it tickles the ears. Yeah, my spouse does bug me. She's a narcissist, although usually this is aimed in the male direction. Nevertheless, my husband, he's such a narcissist. And you know what the girlfriends say? Oh, he's a narcissist. You need to cut him out. You don't need to put up with that girlfriend. You need to get away from that. You know, he doesn't deserve somebody like you. And that is happening far more often than maybe you are aware of it because you've experienced it. And how's about the kids that leave their parents and won't talk to their parents who adore them? Absolutely adore. If you've ghosted your parents, okay, I guess there can be some parents out there that are just awful. And I know there are, because when we talk about this subject, I do hear from people who say, you have no idea how horrible they were. And I'm sorry for that. But that's, in Christian circles, that's the exception. If you grew up with Christian parents, yeah, they wanted you to believe what they believe. They wanted you to love the Lord Jesus Christ. They want you to go to heaven. They want good things for you. They want lovely fruit being born in your life. That's what they want for you. And if you've ghosted them, I think that you are going against the grain of the entire message of the New Testament. That's not how you treat anybody, let alone your parents. You're called to honor them. You're called to love them. You're called to take care of them, not to ghost them by labeling them a narcissist. Listen to the Bible is replete with the opposite message of these YouTubers who are giving you five reasons to torture the narcissist in here. To torture them?
Number one, do not take the bait when they are acting out. Understand that a narcissist is a developmentally arrested child stuck in an adult's body.
There. Yeah, that's what my husband is. He's a child stuck in an adult's body. He wants to go out with his buddies to bowl sometime. Do people still go bowling? Actually, we're doing bowling. We're going to be doing a youth event at church. We're going bowling just to hang out together. And you know what that means, don't you? I'll be throwing a pair of socks away. Because when I'm done, those bad boys are not going on my little piggies ever again.
Therefore, they have all the capabilities of an adult, but the maturity is of a child, which means they are going to be aggressive. They are going to be irrational. They are going to project things, say things that are completely far away from the reality, which means that you cannot take them and what they say serious.
Okay, so the people in your life, don't take them seriously. That'll torture them. That's how you deal with the narcissist. Let me tell you what the Bible says. I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Romans 12, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. I don't think you're going to run into the word torture. The only place where I can actually think the word torture could be rightly used to describe any Bible verses would be the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the treatment of Paul at the hands of religious leaders who hated him, or of civil authorities who threw him in jail. They were tortured. You're not being tortured when somebody disagrees with you, but you're called to torture them because that's exactly what they do. The irony in this is thick. 1 Peter 1, since you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth for a sincere love of the brothers and sisters, listen to this word, fervently love one another. It throws in a prepositional phrase, from the heart. So really, really mean it. Not just pretend to mean it, but fervently, from the guts, you love somebody. You don't torture them. John 15, 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. 1 John 3, 23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he, Jesus, commanded us. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility, consider one another as more important than yourselves. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Associate with the individual. Of course, everybody has pride. It doesn't make them a narcissist. It makes them an unglorified human being. Ephesians 5, subject yourselves to one another. Matthew 20, whoever wants to become prominent shall be your servant. Whoever desires to be first shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. This message from these internet gurus is the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches. Don't buy the lie. Now, that does not mean that you cannot confront somebody in their sin. Of course you can. We're not peace fakers, we're peacemakers. And that can mean we actually bring things up. We don't torture them by cutting them off, lessening their significance so that we can have the upper hand and our world will revolve once again around us. Hey, wait a second. Isn't that what the definition is of a narcissist? How ironic is that?
Number two, remember to deflect when they try to manipulate and gaslight you. When they start messing up with your head, when they start messing up with your thoughts, beliefs, and emotions, hold on to your truth and say...
Hold on to your truth. Okay. So this again, we must understand how it is that they're defining the narcissist. This is not the individual who is just constantly yelling, won't do anything, won't go along with anybody, insists that all the applause go to me, Everything focuses on me. Every meal that we have is about me. And that could be a narcissist, if you want to use the term. That it's somebody who is so self-absorbed. It's like, woo. But that's not what they're saying the narcissist is. They've expanded that to mean somebody who doesn't make your day perfect. They're a narcissist. That's what we need to understand is happening here. It is the expansion of the definition of narcissism that then allows them, they've got the suitcase, now they can pack it full of disinformation about torturing the narcissist. Do you know how many husbands and wives too, but mostly husbands, have been divorced because of this type of nonsensical preaching, which is totally laughable? Because what they're encouraging you to do is to actually be a narcissist to deal with a narcissist. It would be a knee slapper if it weren't so tragic. Thankfully, we have a plumb line. We have a book that helps us to know how to deal with somebody who isn't a narcissist, but they're a, you know, sinner. And we'll share that. And I'm not talking about the tennis player. We'll share that next on Wretched Radio.
Marriage, parenting, mental health, cultural engagement. The challenges facing today's Christians aren't getting any simpler. But at Fortis Institute, we believe God's Word provides the clarity you need. That's why we brought together some of Christianity's most trusted voices under one roof. If you want practical marriage wisdom, Brad Bickney's Thrive podcast delivers biblical solutions that work. If you're struggling with anxiety or depression, Greg Gifford's Transformed brings biblical counseling straight to your ears. And if you're looking for authentic manhood, Adam Tyson's Way of Manhood cuts through the cultural noise. Plus, get daily insights from our team of fellows, including exclusive Gary Varvel cartoons that'll make your day. This isn't just another ministry. It's your daily source for biblical strength and wisdom. And if you want to stay informed about private events and exclusive content, become a Fortis Insider today, all at fortisinstitute.org. Fortis Institute, because standing firm doesn't mean standing alone.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect His flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to Him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Man, you can't write this stuff. This is Wretched Radio. Listen for the irony. This is a YouTube video encouraging you to torture the narcissist in your life as defined by them as anybody who doesn't agree with every single syllable that comes out of your mouth. They're a narcissist. Here's how you're supposed to torture them. If you have something like parasmia, do you know what parasmia is? It is actually a label that was given by, it came before COVID, but a number of people who had COVID ended up getting something that where their noses got busted, and when they would eat, food tasted rancid, or they would walk in, chocolate chip cookies are baking, and it's like, whoa, get me out of here, that smells disgusting. So if you have parasmia when it comes to the scent of irony, you might want to put a clothespin on your nose now.
Say it in their face that what you believe is not what my truth is, and you are entitled to believe what you want to believe, and my truth is known to me. And that is what matters the most.
Me! I'm the one that matters the most, you narcissist! I mean, really? You could put me in a room with a box of crack and I couldn't come up with something more ironic than that. That is utterly ridiculous and it is so unbiblical, and we need to be encouraged not to torture somebody who sins, not to torture somebody who doesn't do everything that I prefer. And it doesn't mean that you can't even go to your elders if you've got yourself a husband who, or even a wife who is really nasty and you need some support. Doesn't mean that. But that isn't what it's at play here. This is a semantic shell game. So we define the word narcissist as anything contrary to anything about you. Well, then suddenly the label fits on everyone. And then when you can slap that label on just your bread and butter husband or wife or parents, and you call them a narcissist, then you have scientific therapeutic ability, because you've been given the authority through a diagnostic label to respond to them in unbiblical ways. We're not called to torture people. This is, and you know what, sadly, This sings to us, doesn't it? Because you can call me a narcissist if you want to. I think the word has virtually no meaning these days. But I also happen to prefer that everything happens my way. There's a shocker. And so do you. And so does Jimmy. So do we. We all like our own preferences. What do you want to eat for dinner tonight? You know, I don't know. What are you in the mood for? I was thinking turkey meatloaf. No. We've got preferences about everything. That isn't narcissism. That's called human. And if we are all going to be labeled as narcissists, then all we're going to do is chill each other out. It is my propensity. And that is why I fear, because you have that same propensity, why perhaps you are not a member of a local church. Because those people bug you. And that's precisely why you need to be a member of a local church, so that you can grow, so that you can expand, so that you can be patient with one another. Ephesians 4, we're studying that in Bible school at alpharettabiblechurch.org, that we are to be patient and long-suffering and enduring things, putting up with things. It makes us more godly when we do that. The forbearance of God is staggering. And when we remove ourselves from everyone on the planet because we've deemed them to be narcissistic, first of all, it proves if anybody's narcissistic, it's the one that's calling everybody a narcissist because they want their own way in every single regard. Ugh, it's just, this is nasty business that's being played on the internet. And if you possess that mindset or buy that lie, then you're not going to join a church because people do things that you don't agree with, or they don't make the same decision. They don't vote the same way that you do. And if you buy in to this narrative, you're going to vamoose. And that's not what God wants for you. He wants you to be in that community. If you're married, I'm not talking about physically violent. I'm not talking about being in a dangerous situation. But you've got a husband, you've got a wife, and they do things that aren't in alignment with your whims and your preferences. don't run. And all the while yelling, I'm leaving because you're a narcissist. And I can't put up with you and your behavior because I want everything my way. Then you bought a lie and you are missing out. Stay in the game. You know, Rory McIlroy, speaking of golf. Okay, we were at some point. Oh, I never got to the other commercial that we were talking about. The commercial that I saw in the Masters golf tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there was the one of the kid that was swinging. And you couldn't tell it's like he had a smooth swing. I think it was the bank commercial that was sponsoring the Masters golf tournament. Swinging the club, but it's like, hey, wait a second. He's only using one arm because he only had one arm. I was like, dude, rock on. Well done. He had actually a very pretty swing. But then there was another commercial. It might have been the bank company talking about how they're sponsoring this national move to get kids to golf. And they're showing these kids out in the golf course, running around, falling down, rolling down hills. Hey, there's no rules out here. There's no one way to do this. Actually, there are. And then they went on to say, and this kind of fits in with this whole narcissism mindset. The only rule is you have fun. Because you don't want to make somebody do something hard, which by my definition actually is fun when it comes to golf. And the commercial actually betrayed itself because they're showing these kids, they're hacking away at the putts, they're goofing off and they're, you know, jumping into the fountain. And they show this one kid and he biffs the ball and he gets on, hey, there's not one way to do this. And then at the very end, they show the kid just clocking it, hitting a nice drive. And he looks so happy. And it's like, there you go. You got rules so that when you abide by them and you accomplish something good with the confine and the constraint of those rules, that's fun. That's fun. And I was like, oh, that message. And it so minimizes the encouragement to do hard things. Rory McIlroy apparently has done a hard thing. He was going to get divorced. I can't remember how many months ago. Don't track it. But I remember reading that Rory McIlroy announced that he was going to get divorced. And then he announced they're not going to. Now, I don't know the details, but I'll just take it at the surface. Way to go, dude. Way to go. You stayed in the more important game. And you fought for it. And I hope he does. And I hope that they live as happily ever after as two unbelievers can. Because marriage is a good institution and it's a good thing. So I guess what I'm trying to say is be like Rory McIlroy. I guess that was the moral to that story. Stay in it. Don't abandon your parents. Don't abandon your spouse because it's hard. Of course it's hard. Anytime you put two sinners in the same context, you're going to have conflict. This is the opposite message of the Bible. Slap the label narcissist on somebody and scram. We are commanded to love. It's all over. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And love includes overlooking a multitude of sins. It means forgiving. It means getting in and helping somebody, not chilling them out. Okay, so you think that your parents are toxic? Have you done anything to help them besides yell at them? Have you done anything to lovingly sit down and say, Mom and Dad, love you so much. Can we talk about this? Because I see how you strive for godliness. Can I point this out to you in an effort to perhaps help you in an area where you maybe have a blind spot? Have you ever tried that? Or did you just listen to a YouTube video that says, torture them, get rid of them, cut them off? Not according to the Bible. Brothers and sisters, you were called to freedom. Don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. This is what we are charged to. And I can go on and on. I've got Bible verse after Bible verse. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. This is Colossians 3. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. Let me YouTube that. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, call them a narcissist and get them out of your life. That is not the biblical message. If you're in a marriage, and I'm not talking about physical violence, I'm not talking about safety issues, but your husband is a pain in the neck. It's kind of a pig. She can be a bit of a shrew. She feels needy. Don't call him a narcissist. Don't buy this nonsensical, totally ridiculous lie. Submit to what the Bible says. And here's how you can find the motivation for that. God didn't label me a narcissist and ghost me. He regenerated me. He made me alive in Christ, even while I was a narcissist. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.